on. I'm conflicted. Put the headphones on. I'll finish my grapes.
Okay, I'm back. I ate my grapes.
My God.
And a hair by accident.
Right.
And then I plucked it out, and then I accidentally ate it again. I should have just kept recording because now you know that everything that happened.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Episode 245. We are here today. We are here for you.
Oh.
Not real. I mean, not really.
Well, we are.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm here for you, Suze.
In spirit.
Yes.
Yeah, we are here for you. We have stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get off our chest, as
Dude,
always.
So much stuff.
Did you, what, that documentary?
Yeah, I watched a really interesting documentary.
Okay. I'll be the judge of that.
Yes. I think you would really, it was one of those Viceland, or Vice, like, short documentaries, so it was only about a half an hour long.
Yeah.
And it was on, are you familiar with the genre of music called K-pop?
Yes.
Okay, so Korean pop, big thing. Huge industry. It is a $5 billion industry.
Right.
Really big.
Huge.
So there's a group out there called EXP Edition that is made up of Americans.
Wait, that are doing K-pop?
Yes.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
That doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so they are a few. I can't say they're all white guys because there's two of them who are, and some of them who are like one of them's half. One of them's Croatian and one of them's half German, half Japanese, I think. But they were all basically born and raised like from America.
But
yes.
Look Asian.
Are not no. really, no. But have adopted all the style of this K-pop look and right. are trying to make it in that industry.
Weird.
Yes. So do you think people who do not belong to that culture, like does this feel like cultural appropriation to you?
Oh my God. I mean, to me, that it's just that we don't need to call it K-pop.
But if K-pop has a very specific look, a very specific style, a very specific
it's a rap genre. Or hip-hop.
It's like that's what even these people use as their argument is like one time rap. Like we are Vanilla Ice, and at one point Vanilla Ice was looked at as well. He's still So like. Or Eminem. I mean, now that's like accessible to people who are of.
I was just having this conversation though about Eminem. I think that was different than Vanilla Ice because Dr. Dre
ushered him in, kinda.
Mentor or assigned him or whatever. And so, who's the Korean who's saying you guys are okay?
Well,
oh no!
Guess what?
Ew.
This started as a thesis for a woman. Who is Korean, who was wanted to see if you could manufacture this and if it would work. So she did a Kickstarter. She's like their producer, manager.
Svengali.
Yeah, she did a Kickstarter, raised $30,000, and she's an academic. She's like doing this as a project. And then it became so popular that she's like, let's see how far this can go.
That's weird to me K-pop, though, is manufactured to begin with.
Well, and that's their whole thing, is like the people who are purists about this and people who really love it.
Tell the audience, if they don't know, how you would describe K-pop.
Okay. Oh. I would describe it as like NSYNC meets Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost kind of like a Mickey Mouse Club sort of style, where they're very... So how it works is if in Korea they have... training camps for this, where they send, if any child seems like they would be, I don't know, have skills in this area in like dancing, singing, you know, the whole full package. It's like dancing, singing, acting, fashion, the whole thing. They're very like well put together, all about having a perfect facade, you know, perfect look, whole thing.
Right.
They train for 10 years. At 12, and it's 12-hour days of, they call it idol training. And
my God.
Then these K-pop bands are used at big events, they're almost used in politics, like for, you know, either whether it's entertainment or, you know, they're kind of like toured around the country.
That's insane.
Yeah. And then they get put on television shows based on their popularity, but it's like they kind of go through this system. And there are a lot of these K-pop fans that are really upset because they've bypassed the system. But here's the interesting thing is that all the people who are criticizing them and who are like, I don't like this. I want my K-pop people to be Korean and this doesn't. Guess what they are?
What?
Not Korean either.
Oh.
So it's like white consumers who are like, I want my Korean, my K-pop to be Korean. There are a few people of color, but still Americans who are not Korean. And the Koreans are like, we're fine with this.
Okay, then they get to decide.
They said there's nothing inherently Korean about K-pop.
Okay,
it's the reason why it came to be in the first place was because they weren't, like, their democracy, everything was shut down. Like, they were, I can't remember what it was that, but they lost all of these freedoms and they, all their culture was stripped away from them.
Yeah.
So with no culture, they started looking to different countries for influence and they were really influenced by Westerners in the creation of K-pop. Mm-hmm. So people from Korea are like, whatevs, they just suck. Like they look at them like, you know, we're fine with it. You're so just shitty dancers and shitty. Yeah. And they said what the real problem that they have with the Koreans have with it is that if they have any problem with it all, they're like, yeah, you can do your thing. We don't really care. This isn't offensive. They don't see it as cultural appropriation.
Okay, good.
It's like white people see it as cultural appropriation.
Okay.
Isn't that weird?
I am not surprised because the people that I see getting really mad about cultural appropriation on like beauty groups and stuff tend to be white folks.
Yeah.
And so I always get confused. Like, wait, which is it?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to do the wrong
thing.
It's
almost like there was a white guy who just was this guy, like guy from the South who, and it almost seemed like he fetishized it a little bit. Like, it was like, it was strange, but.
Well, so the real problem with this group is that they're not.
Oh, yeah, this is what I was going
to
say.
Why aren't they great, though, if she got to pick who she wanted?
Yeah, I mean, they're good, but there are little things that where you think about people who have been in a training camp for frickin' 10 years on how to be, like, perfect choreography, because they're looking for everything to be perfectly in sync, and they oh, now I get that, like, insane.
Right.
I mean, I got it before, but now it really makes sense. So just drive that name home. The thing that the Koreans had the biggest problem with, though, is that they sing in Korean.
So, oh, right.
Yeah. So sometimes the pronunciation.
So this group also does Korean?
Yeah. Yes. The American group sings in Korean.
They do not.
They live there. They are learning the language. Awesome. They're like, if we do it, we're doing it all right.
I didn't know
so
any of this.
The little tiny differences in the pronunciation.
Change the words.
Make the soul go, you're like, it's not really right. And they're kind of like giggling at them because of this. Oh, it's very strange to watch these. And they almost look like plastic dolls. They're very manufactured, very like. You know, but these guys have like given up everything and really believe in this, and it's like
Come
their
on.
Dream.
They
and,
really do.
Yeah,
their dream that they just found out about.
Right.
Oh my God, so, Sarah.
Yeah, American K-pop group.
All right, I'll watch that.
EXP edition even stands for Experiment Edition.
Okay, first I need to take a break because I want to talk about this super cool candle that we have in the office now. It's called Homesick. And I kind of am obsessed with this idea. So Homesick Candles, they have for every state in the country, tons of cities. And then they even have like holiday or like summer camp or different themes. And they create these scents that are designed to evoke that feeling of like wherever you're from or the place that you used to vacation or whatever. And you keep them around and it's a really cool thing to have in your house or as a conversation starter at work or whatever, but they smell so good. And I think it's such a nice gift for like if someone's going off to college, you can get them a Homesick candle from like where they used to live and now they're going off to school. Or like I got one for Pennsylvania, I got one for Pittsburgh, and I ordered one for Sarah that I don't want to say where it's from because it'll be a surprise for the next time we talk about this. But they're really cool and they last a really long time, 60 to 80 hours. If you go to homesick.com to find every single one of the 50 United States candles, plus dozens of classic U.S. cities and popular countries of the world shipped direct to you and your friends or family in just days. Right now, our listeners get free shipping plus $10 off when you buy two or more candles. Visit homesick.com and use our code BRAINCANDY. That's homesick.com. com and use our code BRAINCANDY. It's a great gift, but I actually think it's really cool for yourself too, because so many of us have moved away from where we grew up, or, you know, aren't around the thing that we long for, whether it's a vacation home or whatever. And so these candles are a great way to keep you in a good mood and to be a great reminder of the things you love. Okay, homesick.com, use code BRAINCANDY for a deal. Sarah and I just had our third fight before we were on the air, by the way, because I texted her like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And told her the following: stop whatever you're doing and watch Hannah Gadsby's Nanette on Netflix, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And all of you people have already watched it mm-hmm. because it's swept the nation and the world. And Sarah has not watched it, forgot all about it.
And instead was just watching documentaries on K-pop.
Right, which I will watch because that sounds interesting. But I don't you think, people, that if your best friend sends you a text that says, stop whatever you're doing, especially if they don't do that normally.
That's true. You don't do that normally.
I'm never going.
The only other person you said that about was some other comedian, and it was phenomenal. I think it was Ali Wong.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're right. You're usually
right. This is different because it is a stand-up comedy special, but it is so much more than that.
Mm.
And that's why this isn't just like, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
But Sarah promised that she, today we're recording on July 27th, that she's going to watch it tonight.
I did. And I set an alarm on my phone.
So we'll see.
Yes. Ask me on July 28th.
I watched a troubling TED Talk.
Uh-oh.
With Sue Klebold, who is Dylan Klebold's mom, who was one of the Columbine shooters. He was, one of the shooters.
Shooters.
Eric Harris and
Dylan often
Klebold.
Don't hear that perspective.
Right. And it was gut-wrenching.
Oh, my God. Tell me.
Well, so
I'm, like, nervous for
17
some reason.
Years afterwards, she was, like, in hiding, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, a year ago or so, she wrote a book. And I guess that's when she did this TED Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the profits went to, you know, gun violence prevention or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was really fascinating to hear her point of view because everyone says to her, you should have known. How did you not know?
Mm-hmm.
And she really seemed like a normal, quote unquote, mm-hmm. involved, mm-hmm. affectionate, loving mom. And the quote unquote, like, symptoms that she can even point to mm-hmm. sound like any other
teenager,
mm-hmm. except that he had gotten in trouble twice, like with crime, like he broke into
okay.
a van.
Okay.
That's beyond like normal moodiness or something. But like, other than that, it was just like he kind of like went in his room a lot, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Which is what teenager doesn't get like that. So it was really troubling
But that
to
makes
watch.
Me wonder if, I mean, I really want to know more, like what her childhood was like, or maybe the behavior that she saw from her child had been normalized by other people in her family. So it didn't appear as peculiar behavior.
Whenever I watched an interview that she did with Diane Sawyer, and Diane was like, didn't you think it was weird that he wanted to wear a trench coat to school? Like, that's unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And the mom was like, no, because I wore weird stuff. I was an art major, and I like to wear clothes that not a lot of people like. So, like, that was not a red flag to her.
Yeah.
And I get that.
I mean, come on.
Kids wear weird
I
stuff
wore
sometimes.
I wear really weird stuff.
When you're, like, seeking out an identity, who
yes.
am I? And you, like, think you're going to be all different and whatever.
Yeah. That, when you wore ties, for goodness sakes.
Right. So. My mom should have been calling whoever, like, to report a crime, the fashion police. but, like, it makes you kind of disturbed as a parent because you think, well, you know, how do you prevent this? But she does say, like, that if she had really pushed him, like, what is wrong, what is wrong, what is wrong, maybe it would have made a difference. But she just let it go when he'd be like, I'm just tired or whatever. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah. I mean, even almost more terrifying to, like, you know.
That's what I felt like. It wasn't like.
It's not. That doesn't leave you feeling like, okay. It leaves you feeling like, oh, God, it could be anybody. You know, it's like the Ted Bundy kind of
right. deal. And that's what is also hard is that she lost her son that day.
Oh.
It wasn't like he's just a murderer. It was a murder-suicide.
Yeah.
So then she had two different kinds of grief, really.
Oh.
That she had to.
I don't know how you would recover from that.
Right. I mean.
To pick up. Were there any other children? Did she have any other kids?
Yeah, she has one other son. And she was.
Afterwards or.
An older son. And she was like, I was more worried about him. Like, yeah. I thought he was doing drugs. And
oh, my God.
You know, because they were weird. This was a wealthy Columbine's an affluent community. And, you know, you just think. Everything's sort of like under control and like she's like, when he broke into the van, I thought that was the worst thing that was ever going to happen.
Oh.
So you could imagine.
I wonder what the intervention was then when he broke into the van that.
She was like, we did what most people, well, I mean, he had he got in trouble with the law. Yeah, so I'm sure there was fines and stuff, but they like took away privileges and all that jazz. But I don't know, man.
I don't know either.
Even all this time later, you still think about it and think, oh,
what? Yeah. God. What do you think the takeaway from that was? Like, what was, you know?
She was encouraging people to not stigmatize mental health care.
Oh, yeah.
Which she calls brain health.
Oh, good.
Because she feels like it's more of a solid thing
to talk about. Yeah, brain health. Because then it's like, okay, your brain is.
Your brain is broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you put it in those, that book, Calm Clarity. I think that really helps people when they're able to see it as not this thing that control, you know, that's like, there's like an emotional tie to mental, you know, but if you just look at it as this is a brain, this is a machine, there are ways that it works. There's just like you know, it needs to change the oil. Yeah. You got to make sure it's healthy like this. Like,
right.
Things can be a little off. So you go in and you just balance the chemicals the same way you would balance insulin or whatever, blood sugar, whatever it is.
Right. She was saying, like, because most people in that position might consider taking their own life. And the statistic, I had no idea, I'm sure you do, but was 15 to 20% of adolescents have seriously considered taking their own life, which I was shocked by that. Within the last year.
Mm.
That's a very short period of time, too. Yeah. Like, not ever.
Yeah.
So anyway, but you think that's what they would go to. His was like the perfect storm of like he hated himself, but he was mad at these other people too. So then he acted out.
Hmm.
Anyway, it was a downer, but I mean, I thought her message was important about like we said about the brain health. And when she put it in the terms of like the truth was distorted in his brain by a filter of pain.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That is in line with suicide.
Right. And that's what he did. He killed himself.
Okay, yeah.
And so, you know, that's very understandable, relatable, and how if you're in tune with your own psyche and know that these thoughts you might be having, like painful thoughts, they might be your brain lying to you.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. I've had to tell myself that, like, your brain is playing a trick on you right now.
Yes.
You know?
'Cause my mom will always say, Your thoughts are not your brain. Your thoughts are not you.
Yeah.
Those are thoughts that pop in there. And then you get to decide which ones you hold on to, which ones you get rid of. That's the decision you make.
Yeah.
But
it's always an important message, and I know it's like a downer.
Yeah.
But it still matters.
And when people struggle to hold on, to really grasp that kind of concept, I say, well, what if I ask you to spell two?
Right.
You can say T-W-O, you can say T-O-O, and you could say T-O.
Right.
But your brain gives you all those options.
Yeah.
But your conscience says, I'm going to spell this one.
Right.
Which one do I need for right now, and which two can I toss out?
Well, what Sarah evidently needed this morning was some serious liquid IV.
Listen,
I saw your Insta story.
This has become a must-have in our morning routine, and not me leading this. I mean, well, my husband is like
obsessed.
Can we buy more of those?
Yeah.
He's like, buy the biggest box so we can get the, you know, fattest discount.
Liquid IV is so handy. It comes in these little packets that you can put into your water, and it increases the hydration for you. So if you drink a glass of water, it's like the equivalent of drinking two or three glasses of water. Mm-hmm. So you get totally hydrated faster. And it's perfect for, like, let's say you're sick. Or if you're traveling, you can take it on an airplane. Mm-hmm. If you're hungover like Sarah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like just little joking. Hungover.
And just if you are like me, have a kid who doesn't drink enough water and mm-hmm. you want him to go for it, you can put that in their water and they like it because it's flavored. And it contains vitamins like vitamin C and potassium. And they donate one serving to people in need for every
water. I did not know that.
Yes, they do. Which is cool.
Good.
I love any kind of like water charity thing.
Yeah, we need that.
We love Liquid IV. We know you will too. Right now, our listeners get 20% off Liquid IV. Oh, I want to say it right. Liquid-IV.com. When you use our code BRAIN at checkout, that's 20% off anything you order on Liquid IV's website. Go to liquid-IV.com and enter our promo code BRAIN to get your savings and start getting better hydration. That's liquid-IV.com. Promo code BRAIN. Don't wait. Get hydrated today.
And when you go to the checkout, you click on order summary, and then you get to enter the code.
Oh, getting tips over here.
Yeah, because I entered our code.
That's good.
Yeah.
You got to stock up.
Like, come on. If I'm going to order it, I want 20% off.
Do you know the trend of, well, I'm sure you do, you know these videos of like, quote unquote, dead malls?
No.
You know, what? Where like, abandoned malls.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I'm like familiar. Oh, there's one by my house.
Really?
Yeah, the Laguna Hills Mall.
What happened?
It just is like dead and abandoned. It's like all the big stores pulled out, and all that's left are these weird little rando pop-up stores that are
it's kind of open still?
Yeah,
for
but like half... It's a ghost town in there.
Yeah.
So what are these videos?
Well, I read an article talking about how these images... I think there's a website called like Dead Malls or something that was popularized. And then they started posting videos on YouTube of like tours of these abandoned malls.
Weird.
It is creepy because there'll be like random mannequins and
contempo casuals.
Yeah.
Did you ever shop there?
Yeah.
Dude, that was like my spot.
Really?
Contempo casuals. Yeah. Oh.
Well, they probably have some leftover stock at these malls because they didn't clean them out all the way. So there's like weird, you know, like, and especially when they juxtaposed it with the image of when the mall was open and then they switched to the image of it now.
I just recently saw a TV ad from like the early 1990s, maybe late 80s for a mall.
Yeah.
And it was like, come down to the mall. We've got this, that. There's, you know, your favorite ice cream thing that's sweeping the nation, TCBY, like stuff like that.
TCBY.
But it like wasn't. It was something even worse than that. And and it was just so weird. And it's like, and you know where all the teens will be hanging out this summer, you know?
Well, that's the thing like, is like, if you grew up when malls were still the thing.
Yeah.
If someone said to you, 20 years from now, no one's going to be going to malls and they're going to shut
them down. I would never believed it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, liar.
Because it wasn't just where you shopped. It was a place to go.
Yes.
And see and be seen.
And you know what? Now that I think about it, so the Irvine Spectrum is a big outdoor kind of center that's sort of like a mall that they're trying to turn into kind of this European promenade thing.
Oh, right.
But when I go there, all the stores I'm aged out of. Like, they're all stores that are for teenage shoppers.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that they're trying to create this atmosphere of, like, this is where the teens hang out.
Wow.
And I'm not having any of it. And they put in all the trendy things, like the Dippin' Dots or those – the new thing is the dragon breath. Where you, like, blow and it looks like smoke coming out. It's so freaking weird. But, like, you know, those kind of – it's like they're They're trying to create a new mall. Like, where – do the teens go?
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
Yeah, it's bizarre to me. And like, even the fact that we want to see them abandoned, they call it abandoned porn.
Yeah, we do kind of like that.
Yeah, there's something about it that's like weird but satisfying in some way. But the article was presenting this as like, there's no greater symbol of the capriciousness of American desire than an abandoned mall.
Mm-hmm.
Because at one time we were, you know, clamoring to get the latest at wherever. And then now it's just empty and there's hangers and mannequins. And
I wonder if seeing the death of those abandoned sites does something to kind of like close that chapter of our life for us and mm-hmm. feels kind of satisfying. It's like, you know what? I don't want to go there anymore because I'm aged out of this. But, you know, now who would want to?
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody wants to go there. So it's fine that I don't want to go there. And, like, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
There could be a whole bunch of reasons for why somebody feels satisfied with that.
I wouldn't be surprised if in some way that it connects to our own mortality and yeah. not realizing that everything comes to an end.
Yes.
Or something.
Yeah.
Because it is creepy.
It is.
And, like, a lot of kids' shows were based on, like, you know, Scooby-Doo going to the abandoned uh-huh. amusement park.
There was even an Are You Afraid of the Dark that was an abandoned mall.
Right.
And he was stuck in a mall, and then it turned into a pinball machine. And there was a gigantic ball that was, like, chasing him through this mall. It's very weird.
You're, like, looking back.
Yeah, like, that was kind of weird. But I remember it really left a mark. I can picture that whole scene in my head and being very scared of it because it was also a place that I really loved. And, you know, it's kind of like Halloween, how, like, you yeah. kind of, like a little bit of the creepiness.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, I love being at the mall, but now it's a scary place.
Do teens not hang out now? They just, like...
I was going to ask you the exact same question, Suze. I was going to be like, where did you hang out when you were a teenager?
Definitely the mall.
Right. And then I also did, like, the roller rink, like roller derby. Mm-hmm. Not roller derby, but, like...
Yeah.
Roller dome rink. Was what it was
roller
called.
Roller dome.
Roller dome.
Are you good on skates?
In my head, I am... ripping it. And I think I actually am.
Wow.
Yeah.
What can you do backwards?
For sure.
Oh, well,
I can
then.
Ice skate backwards. So if I can ice skate backwards, I can definitely roller skate
wow.
backwards.
Wow. Where did you find this talent though?
Probably rollerblading.
Just natural?
Yeah.
Oh, you rollerblade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a skater.
Well, when I was, or now I would be a skater.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was, I got that as my, like, maybe when I was like 9 or 10 for Christmas, I got a pair of rollerblades. And I was cutting it up in the streets. And...
they gave me rollerblades on my first road rolls.
Oh, really?
For my road rolls.
Nice.
And, yeah, like, I had never worn them before.
Yeah. How are those ankles?
Like... Loose ankles. It was rough. There's a new ad out by Burger King. And you know how Burger King had done the
anti-bullying one?
Yeah. It's kind of like
nothing's
that.
Funnier than watching a guy beat up a burger. That was, like, my favorite when he punched it.
I think that they're into this whole, like, I don't know what you'd call it, social justice or something.
Uh-huh. Okay, what are they doing now?
Well, now they did one where you could buy their chicken fries, which never had.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And if a guy ordered it, it was a $1.69, and if a lady ordered it, it was $3.69. And they put it in a pink box. And the ladies were like, what?
Oh, I see. Okay.
And they're like...
I was like, for real? That seems awful.
Yeah,
why
this
are
is
we
bad
in, why are we in protest?
And they were like, what's in this pink box? And, you know, it's special for you, the pink box. And they were like, I don't want the pink box. I don't want to pay more for chicken fries just for some box. And they're like, well, do you mind paying $2 more for your razors just because they're in a pink package? Because mm-hmm. that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically bringing to light...
Or dry cleaning. That's the one I have the biggest problem with.
What?
Women's blouse, $6. Men's shirt.
No.
I'm not even freaking kidding, Seuss. Look at dry cleaning costs for women versus men. You would be, I bet I can just Google it right now and somebody else has wrote a think piece on this. Dry cleaning costs.
I can't believe this. And it's true often with haircuts. A women's haircut is usually a lot more than a men's cut, even if it's the same style.
Huffington Post did an article on it called Women Pay More for Dry Cleaning Because They're Women.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. So Burger King is basically saying, why do you pay it at all these other places, but to pay more for chicken fries is ridiculous?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, you're right, Burger King.
Oh, my God. At one dry cleaner, the woman was charged $7.50, while a man was charged $2.85.
What the fuck, Sarah?
It happens in all of them. Dude.
I know. See? This is why she needs to...
This just in, it still sucks to have a vagina.
Right.
But sometimes it's awesome. Most of the time they're screwing us. They're, you know what? That's an appropriate word now. Screwing us.
All right. Well, we can stop saying it.
Yeah.
This is another reason why you guys know why Sarah will want to watch Nanette, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But for now, I will tell you about my Rothies.
The pictures say enough.
I know, right?
They're so cute.
They're super cute. Rothy's shoes. Basically, here's the scoop. If you like looking good, yeah. If you like feeling good.
I do.
If you like helping the earth.
Oh my God, I do.
Then you'll love Rothy's.
I do.
Because Rothy's are made out of recycled water bottles. And so you think like, well, they're definitely going to be ugly.
Nope. Wrong.
Wrong-a-roo.
The biggest one who I had to convince was my husband. Because I told him that. And he's like, oh, there's no way these
are
going to
be hideous.
They arrived. He's like, oh, I love your shoes. I
yeah,
said, these
I
are the
do.
Water bottle shoes. He was like, no way.
Yep.
Yeah. And
they
then I told
so
him how they're
cute.
Washable. And he's like, they're the best.
Yep. And if you want to ditch your heels but look great at work or out in the town, whatever, they have three styles, the flat, the point, the loafer, and all different colors and patterns. I have navy blue flats. And it'll blow your mind that they're made from water bottles because they do not look like garbage.
They don't.
They look so cute. Look so we love cute. Our Rothy's. We know you will too. Right now, Rothy's has an amazing deal for our listeners. Go to rothys.com/braincandy to get free shipping, no minimum, free shipping and free returns exchanges on your shoe. Trust us, you won't return them. Go to rothys.com, rothys.com/braincandy to get your cute shoes and free shipping. No brainer. Shoes are comfortable, stylish, sustainable, and free shipping. Go get yourself a pair today, rothys.com/braincandy. Get this deal while it lasts. What's next?
Now that I'm worked up
about the pink tax.
What do I want to talk to you about? Oh, my God. This will just make you more worked up. Maybe
what?
I should skip that.
Is it about women?
Yeah.
What?
I know.
Damn it, Sarah.
There was a 4-year investigation done, and they discovered that the U.S. is the most dangerous developed country to have a child in.
Yeah. What did they say?
That there are 50,000 women a year who are injured, and half of those could be prevented. And the number one thing that is the problem is blood, people not paying attention to blood pressure.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well,
what do you mean people not?
Like the improper, like they, what is it called? When you lose a lot of blood, I can't remember the name for it, but there's something that happens that's very common in pregnancy that's like, it has to do with blood pressure and like blood loss, like that causes
hemorrhaging.
I was going to say hysterectomy, which is clearly not the right thing, but that's the word with an H that propped in my brain. I was like, don't say that, Sarah, but hemorrhaging.
Just fell right out.
Yeah. So whether it's like they're not, and they're California, they put into place the laws about like protocol for how blood pressure is taken. Mm. And then it went way down. The deaths and injury went way, way down. And it's like these things are not, they're not being adapted by everybody else. So we know what can help, but nobody is putting it to use.
No, but because it's expensive?
Or maybe, who knows?
Follow
but,
the dollars. That's
yeah,
always
but
where.
Can you believe that? I mean, I think that we should have more, like, you know, going to a hospital is also. I think the whole process of birth needs, like how birth is.
Right.
Viewed.
Yeah.
Like when I watched the documentary, The Business of Being Born.
Yeah.
It's everybody should see that.
Yeah.
Where you find out that people who are in their very last year of obstetrician. How do I say that word when it's the. I know he's an obstetrician.
Obstetrics.
Yep. That, I think.
Yeah.
I have never, ever witnessed a live birth.
Right.
Never. Not one natural birth.
That's really
they
stupid.
Only deal with, like, when it goes bad.
Right.
That's the only thing they study because they're in a medical field where you only look at cases that are in need of medical intervention.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing that needs medical intervention when it's just giving birth.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
that movie's really good if you haven't
really
seen it.
Really good. Everybody should watch that. Ugh. We watched it in school.
I was reading this. That's good.
I know.
What do you mean school?
Women's studies.
Oh, okay. there was an article or something about how Khloe Kardashian stopped breastfeeding, and she was interviewed for it and was like, I tried and, you know, I was like determined to do it and I did this, and this, and it didn't work out and I feel really bad, but I had to make that decision. And, you know, that was sort of my reaction, like you're saying, is like, you know.
Yeah.
I've heard that so many times.
I have a lot of friends that, and they're like, I couldn't do it. Yeah.
But our friend Melissa from Real World New Orleans, on Twitter, she was kind of like, she went on like a bit of a rant about it because she was like, you are the wealthiest person that you have nothing but time and best doctors in the world. Why don't you just say you didn't want to do it anymore?
Yeah.
And I was so shocked because nobody ever says that anymore. Like usually people are know that you're supposed to like everybody just make their own choices and whatever. So it really made me think because I was like, do we just say that? Like where we're like, cause I breastfed, but when the going got tough, I stopped and then I switched to formula, but I will just tell you that.
Yes.
But I can't say.
Was Khloe Kardashian not saying, just saying that?
She was saying that she couldn't produce enough and that even after trying everything that she could, it just wasn't working.
But that, it happens to women where they give it like, no matter what, and I also the anxiety around trying to breastfeed.
She said that.
Creates an inability to breastfeed.
That's what she said. She was like, I was stressed.
I have a personal friend that this happened to. And the woman wanted more than anything to breastfeed that baby.
Right.
And it was so painful for her to go through that experience. And it was more dangerous for the child and for their connection for them to be in this moment of anxiety of struggling to breastfeed than it was for them to have moments of connection when she was able to bottle feed.
Well, that's why I was surprised. I almost wanted to ask Melissa to come on and talk about it because that was such an unusual reaction, but she was so adamant. She was like, that is not true. You know, if you have access to the best medical professionals and you have nothing but time, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to.
But I think your brain and mental, you know,
I don't know. Right. Because I always felt like it was sort of like, hey, whatever works, I don't care. I am one of those people where I'm like almost too far in the direction of do whatever you got to do.
Well, I think that's fine.
Right. But that's how you get the mommy wars,
though. And it's
though.
Like the set. This is the thing. Is like, it's what are, yes, you're exactly right. Moms go to war over this. But what is the sacrifice? Like, what? Because not by not breastfeeding, I mean, like, or by trying to breastfeed, you're doing more harm than, you know, for some people, it could be worse, you know, because that stress. That cortisol, all those bad stress hormones, like that goes into the breast milk too. So why would you want, you know, it just seems like if you're under that extreme stress, it's just not, you know, I think back to when the brief moment that I was pregnant and I worried so much about the chemicals that were going into my body. And like, I didn't want to wear nail polish. I didn't want to dye my hair. I was freaked out about every single thing that I put on my body. When the stress of freaking out about everything that I put on my body was probably more damaging to my body than those actual products were. I mean, I don't know this to be a fact, but I just feel it. I felt like the stress of worrying was far more damaging to me than actually adhering to all those things that are like, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Let me just have some fucking soft cheese.
Bring some Stilton over here. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's at my position, but I appreciate anything that makes me think, like I like entertaining thoughts where I entertain it and I think, is there any truth to that? Or can I relate to that? And then I do or don't, whatever. But I think that was interesting and made me realize why there is mommy wars because people have really strong opinions.
They sure do.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay. We have talked about this privately.
Oh.
But we have got...
I know what you're going to say.
To talk.
Big dick energy?
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say this, Suze. I was even practicing how I was going to bring this up when I was like washing my hair in the shower the other day. I was like, so are we going to talk about big dick energy or what?
We must.
We have to.
Yeah.
Because now it's how I see every person on this planet. I'm like, oh, that's because they have big dick energy. Or, oh, they think they have big dick energy, but they don't.
Well, that's little dick energy.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it. So
yes.
There was an article and it was describing, well, it was kind of born out of that picture of Ariana Grande with Pete Davidson, yeah, where she's like sucking on that lollipop, looking at him like he is something. And he is, I mean, what would you call him? Like, he's just a guy. Like,
yeah.
You wouldn't look at him and think like,
he's an SNL
stuff.
Comedy writer.
Yeah.
He's that guy.
And so when you see someone look at him like that, you think, oh, he must have some big dick energy.
Oh, yeah.
And the article described that BDE is quiet confidence and ease with oneself that comes from knowing you have an enormous penis and you know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cockiness. It's not a power trip. It's the opposite. A healthy, satisfied, low-key way you feel about yourself. Some may call this, oh, he... or she fucks vibe, mm-hmm, but that is different. You could fuck but not have BDE.
Mm-hmm.
Some may call this well-adjusted, but we know the truth. And then it goes on to qualify some of the things, saying like you don't actually have to have a big
you
dick.
You don't. You just have to have the energy.
Right. And
oh my God, I'm thinking back to that Frenchman I met. The smallest
the
penis
poet?
I've ever seen.
Oh, Frenchie?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had BDE.
But big dick energy.
Says, how do you know if you or someone else has big dick energy?
Yes.
Well, there's a certain gait, sort of like you've got a massive dick swinging around, but also a twinkle in the eye. Like if you look right at that twinkle, you can see a dick swinging in the eye. It's that thing that makes people bogglingly attractive to others, like Pete Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
It also is reflected in the way others look at you.
Jeff Goldblum.
Like when you see your own big dick swinging in their eye.
Ah,
yeah, Jeff Goldblum for sure.
He's definitely got big dick energy.
But then it's so great
big.
Because the article... Oh, and then it says, what is the opposite of big dick energy? That's either little dick energy or mediocre dick energy. Rather than confident, that person is cocky, petty, and loud.
Oh, yeah.
I diagnosed Trump with LDE, but I don't even want to think about it. But... then there's a list of celebrities that they say do or don't have BDE.
Yes, please.
Here's a sample. Cate Blanchett.
Huge.
Huge.
Swinging.
Says BDE for days. Justin Bieber. BDE.
Oh, he does have BDE.
Justin Timberlake. Nope. You disagree with that one.
That one's... but see, what I agree with is that he thinks he has BDE. And wants to have it and surrounds himself with people who do have it.
I think he has mediocre DE.
He's got BDE by association.
Well, the funny one for me says Idris Elba, biggest dick energy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That confidence coming out of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the one I guessed?
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton.
Is that her name?
Yep. I always get her name mixed up. But
yeah, it said that. Martha Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
BDE. Backstreet Boys, no. NSYNC, yes.
Mm-hmm.
O-Town, yes.
Definitely. They called a song Liquid Dreams. Come on.
Right.
Huge.
Who are you kidding?
That
Kanye West, nope.
Nope, nope, nope.
He has LDE.
Pharrell, yes. Childish Gambino, huge.
Yes.
Oh, dude. And we're all attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Dude.
What
Dude.
If you said Danny?
I almost did.
Rihanna.
Huge.
Huge.
Oh, my gosh.
And so BDE is a helpful way.
A big dick in Fenty underwear.
It's yes. such a helpful tool. As yep. Sarah said, it's a lens through which she now sees the world.
Yes. And when I'm having an interaction with somebody, then I recognized the locations in which I have big dick energy, but it's not everywhere.
Mm. She has situational.
Yes,
big dick energy.
Correct. I have big dick energy at school mm-hmm. and in the therapy room, but I think I have mediocre dick energy when I'm like around somebody who's more socially dominant than me.
Mm.
You, Landon, my dick shrinks. So maybe it's not big to begin with. It's just mediocre all the time.
Oh, I don't think so.
But it's situational.
Yeah, I've definitely seen the situations where your big dick starts swinging.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the whole world has seen that on television.
Oh, this is true.
Yeah,
because you're in your element. Oh, if you hit me with a puzzle challenge, yeah. Oh my God, it's like all of a sudden that big dick has an erection.
Yeah, you're a grower,
Linda's
not a shower.
Linda's going to hate this. I am totally a grower, not a shower. This is so true.
Right.
Man, mm-hmm. This is genius.
Yeah, I want to thank the person that wrote that because it was like, yes, exactly. Because my husband has BDE.
Oh my God, yeah.
But I never would have thought of that because he is quiet.
Quiet confidence.
Yeah, but he knows he has a BD.
Mm-hmm.
And like that Trump thing, I was like, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is, LDE.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like overcompensating
yeah.
for something. Uh-huh. We all know guys and gals like that.
Yes, we do. Like, and okay. It's not a it's a male-female thing. It's everybody thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we finally discussed it.
Me too.
It's that unmistakable
article is
too.
So good.
Like, I guess there are some people that are gray area where like you said, Justin Timberlake, it's like, is it?
Yeah, yeah. Let's go through people on the challenge.
Okay.
Uh-huh. You know who my first thought comes into my head when I think BDE? Devin.
Oh my God. Yes. Good one.
Mm-hmm. He probably does have a big one because that guy is walking around with that confidence. Like he does not give a crap.
You know who has LDE?
Who?
Wes. Like I think.
Yeah.
Just in my opinion. I'm not saying
but
he
you know
has
what?
An LDE.
I think he has what I have. It's situational. Because I think off the challenge, he probably doesn't have that.
Oh, I don't know. Well, anyway, I would say CT has BDE.
Yeah.
I mean, uh-huh. I know you say he stinks, but...
No, but he's got BDE because he doesn't give a fuck, even if you thought
he did.
Not. Whereas if somebody with LDE, if you said, hey, you smell like shit, they would worry about that all the time. CT's like, whatevs, I'm still getting laid.
Right.
So
I would say Derek has BDE.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
you know
oh
who
my
else?
God. There's so many.
I know. Darrell.
Kahuta.
Mm-hmm. Kahuta. Oh, please.
You're
He's
so
right,
right
up there with Rihanna.
You're right. You're right about both of them, Darrell and Kahuta. Good call.
I'm thinking also about their handwriting, and it's everyone who had small handwriting, which shows that you're more humble. The ones who had the biggest ones, ooh. Like the ones who wrote
What were you thinking
the biggest,
just then?
Well,
no,
I mean, I don't know.
You have to say it.
I was thinking Evan had the biggest handwriting.
Right. Just take that for
what
it's worth.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
God, it's so fun. That's why this game is fun, because there is no right answer,
Laurel,
really.
Big dick energy.
Big.
Oh, my God. Like, so big that I'm scared of it. It's like the Alton of BDE.
Yeah, you're right about that. Mm-hmm. Although, it's not just... cocky or self-assured.
No.
There is a twinkle in the eye.
Yeah.
Which I don't see as much with her. I'm going to think about her a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
You're right. Because that's got to have
Maybe
that.
She has LDE and we've misdiagnosed
we
it.
We have. The guy's just diagnosed
Somebody at the karaoke night was talking about how she was pitching the show to one of her friends, like, you have to listen. This is what they're like. And then in the description, it was like, and they psychoanalyze everyone. I was like, that's so sad because we totally do.
Yeah.
At least you're qualified to do it. I'm just judgy.
I'm like, oh, not on my way to being qualified. I'm like just amateur until I get that.
I think that you should introduce this into the curriculum of the Chapman University psychology department.
Give them that assessment. Be like, here's the big dick inventory.
Sarah, what do you think they would say? Like, if
BDEI,
you
which is so funny because the best is that what we use for anxiety and depression are called the Beck anxiety inventory, so the BAI, and then the Beck Depression Inventory, the BDI. So this would be the BDEI.
Yes, this is perfect.
It already just fits.
What would happen if you walked in to your department, dead serious, like not even joking, and we're like, this is going to sound crazy, you guys, mm-hmm. but hear me out.
Yeah.
And then you told them about BDE.
Yeah.
And gave examples, which they would all be like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah. And now that I think, totally.
And you were like, what's the protocol for adding this to the official, mm-hmm. whatever it is mm-hmm. that you people use?
The DSM,
yeah,
Diagnostic Statistical yeah. Manual of Mental Disorders. We would have to
have.
Well,
it wouldn't be a disorder, though.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's more like a person. It's not a disorder.
It's a condition.
Condition. You know, but almost like I would categorize it as like, what do you call confidence? What is that?
Right.
Is it
it's a virtue
a,
or a?
It's a
personality trait.
Yeah, personality trait. So really, it would be like
those?
A personality inventory. Like what personalities?
Do you have that kind of book?
I'm thinking what it would be. There's like different models. There's one that has like, there are six universal personality traits. I'm trying to remember. I think the initials are OCEAN.
Hmm.
Yeah. Like.
Well, maybe if they could call it BOCEAN.
Yeah. And Big Dick is part of it. Like what size? Yeah. There's got to be, well, the first thing we have to do is standardize an actual assessment for this. We have to come up with a standardized assessment for what this is. A lot of like agree, disagree, strongly agree, strongly disagree, you know, where there's like a scale of like when I enter the room, I feel like I want to, you know, look for food to, you know, whatever, find the nearest exit, confront the person who's throwing the party, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And like, agree, disagree.
I really like where we're headed.
Come out. Basically, what would Idris Elba do? Manual.
Right. Because certain people are like a prototype.
Totally.
Of the BDE.
And then we just can like go backwards from there. Or we can like look at the one with the littlest dick energy and then create it from there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Trump is a great example.
Yeah.
Because it's an overcompensation. It's the Napoleonic thing.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who else is out there with that little dick energy. Well, I mean, obviously
I think,
Johnny Bananas.
Well, okay, this is a question of which category would they fit in?
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen.
Oh, a little dick.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That was going to be my example. But then I'm like, wait, is that big dick or little dick?
No, I think it's little dick.
Yeah.
Because it's like a compensation for something. Like he's sad.
Something's wrong
on the inside. Like if you strip everything back, you know, there's some, yeah.
Okay, so he could be an example of LDE.
Yeah, and I think the ones with LDE who are like him where it's like questionable, like Pete Davidson is like really open about his struggles with mental health. And he's like, yeah, this is what I have. It's like no big deal. Charlie Sheen is not and is trying to pretend like he doesn't have that through acting out in all these ways that look like BDE, but they're really not.
They're LDE.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Totally.
We're making a lot of progress on the inventory.
Yes.
I'm thinking eventually we'll be able to submit this to your...
Could you imagine?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Let me see if I have anything before we go. There was just quickly, there was this video that I should put in the newsletter of, did you see the waitress that body slammed that dude?
No.
He like grabbed her ass, you know, just.
Get out.
Yeah. It's the
Good
best
for
thing
her.
I've ever seen.
I can't wait to see that.
She's got BDE.
Huge. I love it. What
balls?
It's
the surveillance footage and she's like just doing her stuff in the, where they put the orders in.
Yeah.
And
oh,
he walks
dickhead.
By. Pinches her ass and just keeps on walking. And she beelines, slams him like freaking Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
And it was like I went to church.
I love that.
I know.
I want
what
to see that.
What if we all did that?
That's amazing.
And she's not a big lady
right.
and he was a big
right.
guy. So
right.
we could do this because he was
yes,
not suspecting
can.
It.
Right. I have a friend who went to was in Junior Olympics for karate. And there was a girl at her dojo who was attacked while getting into her car in a parking lot. This
mm-hmm.
guy had seven other counts of like attacking women or whatever. He had to go to the emergency room before they could arrest him and take him to jail because he had kidney damage. She had beat him up so bad and was like, you fucked with her. And she's so tiny. And this is like a high school student. And she beat the living shit out of him.
Yes.
That was the perfect time to use that. Girls getting after it.
I love it. Mm-hmm. We'll take that as like our inspiration for the day.
Yes.
And we'll see you guys next time.
See ya.
Bye.